Amy, can we talk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can we talk? I think the way that you just did, I don't think it's really right, and it hurts my feeling.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen bei einer neuen Folge von deinem Podcast Raus aus deinem Kopf. Hier holst du dir dein Wissen und deine Inspirationen rund um das Thema emotionale Intelligenz und Kompetenz. Danke fürs Einschalten. Viel Spaß mit der heutigen Folge.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur heutigen Folge im Raus aus deinem Kopf Podcast. Und ich habe hier heute einen ganz besonderen Interviewgast neben mir sitzen. Und das heißt, die folgende Folge wird auf Englisch stattfinden, denn ich sitze gerade in Malaysia bei meiner Freundin Amy Wong.
Hallo zusammen!
Und das ist so ungefähr das einzige Deutsche, was sie sagen kann, außer Mann, 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 Mann.
Mann, 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 Mann.
And the other word was? The duck.
Quietsche Ente.
Und was heute in diesem Podcast passieren wird, ist, das ist der Beginn einer neuen Serie über Emotionen in anderen Kulturen. Und Amy ist natürlich aufgewachsen in Malaysia, Hauptstadt Kuala Lumpur, und es gehört natürlich zum asiatischen Raum. Und hier treffen verschiedene Kulturen aufeinander, verschiedene Religionen. Und ich werde Amy heute auf Englisch befragen, okay, wie geht man in deiner Kultur mit Emotionen um? Ist dafür überhaupt Platz oder nicht? Und dann werde ich natürlich sie fragen, wie sie persönlich mit Emotionen für sich umgeht. Denn Amy ist ein großer Leader. Sie war unter anderem im malaysischen Book of Records. Und gestern durfte ich sie begleiten zu einer Art TED-Talk, wo sie 18 Minuten auf Mandarin über das Thema Dignity, Würde gesprochen hat. Welcome, Amy!
Woo! And thank you to the celebrity from all the way from Germany.
Yes, so Amy, I just told the audience that I want to do this series and ask you about, okay, what do you learn or how do you learn in your culture to deal with emotions? So what could you say for Malaysia in general as an Asian country? Do emotions have a place here, or how do you deal with? What do you learn when you are young?
Well, when it comes to emotion, here how the Asia actually tackles emotion is they are very sensitive to the not so happy emotion. For example, sad, dissatisfaction, anger. It's more like a taboo facing them. And the Asians are more willing to express the good ones.
Ah, so you can say, okay, they are expressing emotions, but they mostly focus on the so-called positive ones.
The so-called positive ones.
Okay.
And not knowing that actually emotions include anger, sad, But the Asians are very so-called still conservative, but are getting better. Just since like 10 years ago, I think.
Okay.
It's getting better.
So what do you mean with it's getting better?
As in like more willing to express, for example, happy, not happy.
Okay.
You know, like probably during my parents' era or my grandparents' era, they are probably not so willing to express even their happiness, their joy, their satisfaction, or maybe husband and wife telling a wife, I love you, even expressing love.
Was not?
It's not so common culture in Asia. You know, I know in Western culture, saying I love you to your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or even to your friend, it's very common there. But here in Asia, it's less common.
Okay, could you say why there is, like, it's getting better? Why there is a change? Is it because people, and also through the internet, are connected more globally, and that's why they adopt?
Yes. Because of the pop culture being influenced by through social media, through TV shows, you know, like TV shows. I remember when I was young and watched movies, shows, and I see them, you know, telling each other, "I love you," before they hang up the phone. So, like, to us, it's something new. We don't do that when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's kind of good that the culture now is being transparent globally, because of globalization. We kind of influenced by the Western culture.
So you adapt.
For me, yes.
And how is it within families? How did you realize emotions in your family? Because yesterday when you had your talk,
yeah,
because you had to know Amy's mom passed away when she was very, very young. And yesterday's talk, you shared that your parents were fighting a lot of times at home.
Mm.
So is home like a place where people get access to also the not so good negative emotions?
Yep.
But outside the door, like in public, you're like neutral? How did you explore that?
Yes, at home it's more prone to like you say, you know, exposing to not so positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a person would express the positive side of him or her,
mm-hmm.
and then the dissatisfaction would be expressed more at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like I witness a lot at my home or my relatives,
mm-hmm.
or among my friends. So yeah, so and from young I'm exposed to not so positive energy, like parents quarreling and seeing my mom's a lot of negative emotions, like crying,
mm-hmm.
Blaming, you know, because that was always having an affair. So yeah, and from young, I would see my mom expressing herself, but she expressed to herself,
mm-hmm.
not to the person that she thinks that, or rather, should I say that she's expressing to herself and not the person that she thinks that can help her to stop that situation.
So you mean,
for example,
yeah.
She cried at home or being not happy at home and not having to express,
mm-hmm.
to her husband that, hey, you should not do this to us. You know, this has caused us sadness and anger,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think Asians are more like suppressed their emotion to themselves,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that this is not really a good way, because eruption will sooner or later happen.
So when you were watching your mother expressing the emotion just for herself,
yeah.
So what kind of behavior did you take on for yourself? Because we both went through the same program called Mastery of Self-Expression,
yep.
just some years ago, where we definitely learned how to express emotions. But what I'm interested in is, what did you take on as a behavior in terms of your own emotions?
Well, from young, when, you know, growing up, I thought that you don't express negative emotion,
mm-hmm.
to others. This is what I was being brought up to,
mm-hmm.
you know. But after attending to that program, not only that we express the emotion, but express the feelings. How is it that you don't like the person treating you this way?
Mm.
I think that it's more powerful that way. You know, for example, I'll give a very good example.
Yes.
Husband and wife in Asia, it's very common that a husband wakes up in the morning and finds out that the wife is not in a good mood, and the husband would ask, "Hey, honey, what happened? You seem not happy. Is there anything I can do?" The wife would normally answer, "Nothing," but the husband can feel that the wife is totally or obviously not happy, and the sad energy is there. But the wife just she would express the emotion through the action,
mm.
or behavior. For example, oh, I just banged the door,
mm-hmm.
or I my footstep is heavier,
mm-hmm.
you know, to show the anger.
Mm-hmm.
But the wife would never express, what is it that I don't like my husband doing to me?
Okay.
You know, or, you know, so the wife would just showing dissatisfaction by action,
mm-hmm.
by the not so happy face, you know, instead of sitting down with the husband and say, you know why I'm not happy, dear? It's because when you came back last night, you didn't come and hug me.
And so the man has to guess what's wrong and
yes.
address it, or how does he then react on it? I mean, actually, I would say for Germans, some of us behave the same way,
mm-hmm.
not really, because we don't really learn to express emotion as well, because I don't think that's such a cultural difference, you know, saying, but I would be interested, how should the husband then react, or how do they do it then?
The husband?
Yeah. Like go to the wife and say, oh honey, what's wrong with
you? I think that would depend on the character. That would depend on the individual man character.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is, I would encourage more Asians to express, you know, if you're not happy with somebody, the way that somebody's treating you, just express rather than you rebel in some other form.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, at work, I have, the signs that I'm telling you just now, it's not just only happen on women. You know, some men, because I work with men also, you know, he's not happy with, for example, the way I work, you know, he would express in his behavior or action rather
mm-hmm.
than telling me, Amy, can we talk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can we talk? I think the way that you just did, I don't think it's really right, and it hurts my feeling. I think that's the thing that Asians should practice more and express to the person, hey, I'm really not happy by the way you
mm-hmm.
talk to me just now.
And do you think that's possible? Because as far as Germans, we also have like this cliche of Asians don't talk about emotions because it's about losing face.
Yes.
Because when you say something dissatisfies you, it's like two person losing face. You, because you have like lost your mind, and the other person who did wrong, and you don't want to make the other person
offend
wrong.
The other person.
Yes, offend the other person. So
yeah.
You're trying to move around, but you think it. Yeah.
The first point that you said is
yeah.
totally right.
Yeah.
Maybe Asians, they, you know, because of that losing face thing, telling people that I'm sad or I'm not happy with the way you treat me, it's like showing the vulnerable side of you, which maybe Asians are not so used to that.
Is it considered weakness here?
Some beliefs would, yeah. I think some would believe that this is like vulnerability is weakness.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second part,
and
of making the other one wrong.
Yes, and because I can't speak to all the Asians, but for me personally, I was being brought up that. You know, we do not offend the other person,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, if you are not happy, probably it's just your personal side, a point of view,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah, and we do not tell people that, hey, you're not doing the right thing, you know, and I'm not happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not really a culture for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I realized that those Asians were willing to do that. They are the ones that are more exposed to Western culture.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And that's because you attended the seminar and you're also a great leader and you have to work with different people, different age, men and women. They are all in your team. You said you have about 200 people in your team. Could you tell what changed for you when you were, because your upbringing was don't show it to others. And then you discovered yourself, you went on this personal development journey, and now you're expressing. Could you describe what you do and what has changed also in terms of being a leader for you and maybe also for a woman?
Yeah, it changed my perspective. For example, now I'm more open to expressing to the person, you know, if I'm not happy with him or with her behavior or what
mm-hmm.
he or she does. I'm not saying that you are wrong, but I'm just trying to express how I feel.
Ah,
you
is.
May be doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
but this is just how I feel. No, I'm not trying to ask you to change, but I just want to express and telling you this is how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think by doing that, the person, I think it's more powerful than telling the person you're wrong.
Mm.
yeah, just tell the person how I feel, and the other party would feel the power, and the effect would actually make the person to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when a person telling me, same thing, if the person tells me what I did that made him or her uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, rather than telling me I'm wrong, actually it makes me reflect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and after attending the program that we attended together, the Mastery mm-hmm. of Self-Expression, it taught me to be more open, you know, and don't just stand by my own point of view.
So, and now I think you went to the program, you learned about the stuff all of emotion, and then you came back to your team and you changed your behavior.
Mm.
How did they react to the new Amy, like the Amy talking about how she feels about stuff? Did they realize change?
They realized that I'm more open,
mm-hmm.
I'm more transparent, open, honest, and direct communication. And that's one of our code of honors.
So you put the code of honor before or up front, or after you attend the seminar?
After. Yes. There isn't any good or bad communication.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we are open and honest.
I think this is very rare.
Rare, and it's very hard to do it. It's very hard sometimes to tell the truth. The truth is mm-hmm. always the hardest. The truth is always the most painful.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather to bring it out, you know, get out of our chest than to keep it in and cultivate it as, you know, and it then it becomes a toxic.
Mm-hmm. So you're teaching the people in your team also, like,
yes.
That's the way. Because what you're teaching in your team is then against their cultural upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, let's say, it's offering them a different point of view besides a cultural upbringing, how to deal with emotions, right?
Yes.
And they accept it, or they like it, or do they struggle, or
they
depends?
Feel fascinated, I would say.
Yeah?
Because I'm doing it and kind of influencing them.
Yes.
For example, I always tell my team, you know, if you feel that you're uncomfortable with me, or is there anything that I do that makes you uncomfortable, you can tell me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-way traffic. So I have to walk the talk. I have to do what I tell them to, and that's the power that the power of influence.
So, and but on one hand, I know what you're talking about. You're offering them, it's a two-way side. But is there like a little voice in their head that says, oh, "Of course, Amy has told me I can share my feelings." But is it really true? You know, this little like, can I really do it? Yes, can I really do it? Or does it have consequences if I now go to Amy because she's the leader and then I tell her, well, I feel bad about stuff here and that. So do they hold back or do you sense that?
I can feel that, you know, sometimes they hold back.
Yeah.
So there are times that, you know, I try to dig more. I will try to dig.
Yeah.
You know, keep digging deeper. For example, a person may come to me and telling me the beginning of the whole issue,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I feel that there could be more. You know, I try to dig, and at the same time, I have to show support
mm-hmm.
and be neutral and show support. You know, I always remind them that it's better that you pour everything out now than keeping them as a toxin.
Mm-hmm.
It would even be bad. It would just make things worse. You know, settle the issue once and for all. Whenever there's a discomfort here, you know, whenever there's a knot here,
mm-hmm.
just let it out. There's no good or bad emotion. We just let it out and just pour out our emotions. And that's when we feel more powerful. You know, at times I dig more, and yes, sometimes they show the vulnerability and tear. And after that, you know, I would have feedback saying that they feel more powerful.
Mm.
They feel lighter, they feel more powerful.
Clear.
And they have breakthrough showing the deeper side of them, which they never tried.
Mm.
You know, never in their life have ever, like, tried to get so close in touch with their emotion.
Yeah, because I think it's really new for them.
And it's like a taboo. Oh, we don't get close to our emotion. You know?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm just helping them to get close to their emotion, which they don't normally do, or they don't, or they have not tried it for many years.
Yeah, and because you're like working on a different way for the cultural upbringing. So there is a resistance, of course.
Yeah.
And I think when you came home and you changed, we're talking about experience, emotions, your family suddenly realized, oh, Amy changes. Mm. And I think when your team members go home as well and suddenly they start talking about how they feel, it's like a cultural, what's happening, like disruption.
And then that's when the ripple effect will happen. Like one of our mentors taught us the ripple effect.
Yes.
Yes. So when I start to make this transformation in the office, and when they go back respectively, they go back to respective home, and that same good energy, you know, cycles, and it will create a very good ripple effect.
So you think this good energy could replace one day this old traditional culture of losing face, holding emotions back, because it's way stronger
mm-hmm.
for the people and they feel healthier?
Definitely, definitely. So I must say that I work with a lot of Asians, and even then I feel different Asians, different family have different culture.
Mm-hmm.
Not only about Asian and Western culture.
Yeah. Within
the Asians.
Yes.
You know, within the Asians, because of different upbringing, different family culture, they behave differently. Some are really, really, really closed up. So we've got to work harder to
To break the shell.
Yes. Yes.
It's funny when you say this, because actually I think I can have this conversation with another German and they would say maybe exactly the same. Just not, there is this cultural difference of losing face. We don't have it so much, but in terms of some families deal better with emotions, others don't. So actually we could have the same conversation in German, I would say.
Exactly, because I mean, not only about the Western or the Asian culture. It's more of family upbringing.
Yes.
Yes. A person who is too afraid to connect with their emotions or expressing their emotions is also because of their upbringing, their past experience. Maybe this person has tried to express something when they are young and they got punished very badly. So this has become a scar in them. And whenever they would feel like expressing, that shadow comes back.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, it keeps the person suppressed.
Low.
Yeah, low and suppressed and belittled. Yes. And I feel that this is a common issue that's facing in the society.
Can you tell what your biggest obstacle is in terms of doing, because it's also a way of leadership you're using with this emotion. Can you tell what your biggest obstacle is in this, or your biggest resistance within people?
I think my biggest obstacles is myself.
Yourself?
It's about myself first. I mean, I always believe that if I cannot manage myself, how can I manage others? Yeah, and it's hard for me to express too, as much as hard for others to express themselves. So it's actually very hard sometimes, you know, for me to express to others, telling others how I feel. You know, it takes a lot of bravery.
Yes, it does.
It takes a lot of bravery. So I think the hardest obstacles or the hardest breakthrough that I have to face is about myself first. The more I do it, the more I practice it, I think it would be easier for me to help others or to facilitate others to open up and get in touch with their emotion.
You have to remind yourself every day.
I keep reminding myself. Yeah, and for me, and after years of practicing, I feel that I'm more powerful, I'm more present, and I'm more authentic. Yes, and people who are afraid to get in touch with their emotion, they don't feel real, just like the previous me.
You didn't feel real?
I didn't feel real. I didn't feel it's not me, because I didn't dare to get in touch with my emotion. You know, for example, if I'm not happy with the way you talked to me mm-hmm. yesterday, for example, mm-hmm. and now that I'm talking to you, and on one hand I wanting to express to you, but on the other, I was afraid to offend you. Mm-hmm. The way I behave would not be authentic.
Mm-hmm. Because it would be like something between us.
Yes, it's something between us. Mm-hmm. And it's something between myself, because I'm contradicting. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not just only here, but here. Mm-hmm. Yes, so it will like stop me from being authentic. Yeah, so now I'm really glad and very happy that I can really feel what authenticity is all about.
So you feel it when you are the real Amy?
Yes.
How you brave, feel the difference?
Be brave to get in touch with our emotions.
Is it something in your body that you feel? Because this is a main question from the audience also. I mostly ask the person, who are you when you don't have your status, your money? So who do you answer yourself the question, who am I? And then there is like, okay, how do I know what is the real me? So how you know, how it is for you when you feel the difference?
I feel so real. And yeah, I will feel real. I mean, the moment I express something, yeah. even the hardest thing to express, after that, I feel good about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel free. I feel light.
Is it, you feel alive?
Alive and light and free. Free is the word. I mean, have you ever felt that there are times that you want to express something and then not having the courage, and you just feel something here. You feel that heaviness here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel that heaviness here. And I really don't really like that feeling, you know, and now that I just feel very free and light and alive.
And alive.
Yes.
Nice. And you also brought your family to the program, right? Your brother
yeah.
and
Mama.
Your new mom.
My stepmom.
Yes, your stepmom. So you could convince them to go because they saw the change in you?
Yes, they saw my transformation.
So when you came home and we were talking about emotions, were they suspicious? Like, okay, where's our old Amy that achieved so much and is like...
I think they're glad to say goodbye to the old Amy.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, and welcome the new Amy. Yeah, that's why I didn't actually have to try hard to convince them to the program. It was all the result that they saw in me that actually get them convinced.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how did the relation
happen? Yeah, and one thing I just want to tell you about my mom.
Yeah.
I see tremendous transformation in my mom.
Hmm?
Yes. She's now so much open up.
So how old is your mom?
57.
57. Okay. So what could you see?
I see the bigger her. Because previously she is more of the little kitten, you know,
mm-hmm.
A very traditional conservative mm-hmm. woman. Yeah, she was not really vocal.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't that expressive, but now she is more vocal,
mm-hmm.
she expresses better, be it the positive or the negative ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for me, I really don't really mind whether the things that she expresses, whether it's positive or negative or not. The issue is you have to express.
Mm.
Yeah, and that actually improves our relationship.
Wow.
Yes, because we both feel that we're so much closer. We don't have the walls between us.
Mm.
Because every time we express, we bring down one wall.
And we don't know how many walls we have, right?
We don't know how many walls we have between one relationship. So the more we express, the more we bring down the walls. And it feels so, so awesome to enjoy the relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. It
And actually, you should have seen, I'm now talking to the audience, yesterday on Amy's talk, like everybody was cheering up for her bravery. They all look up to you, actually, and like, because you managed another obstacle yesterday talking in Mandarin Chinese, which is not your mother tongue. And so, of course, there was this part in you like, I want to be do it perfect, so I don't choose Mandarin.
Yes.
But you didn't do it. You reached another milestone. You showed yourself being vulnerable.
Yes.
And actually, it was perfect. But it's also in your head, though.
Yes.
But in that way, you are always become a role model for your team. They adore you. A lot of people say they want to be like you. Of course, you don't like it because they should be
the best version of themselves.
Yes. But actually, they can look up to someone like you, how you deal with it, and then find their own way of doing it.
Yes. The biggest message that I want to send out, especially from yesterday when you say that,
yes,
I face my fear,
yes,
I face my dragon, you know, is to face the fear that we always have. Fear is always there, you know, just to face it and get close to them.
And now next time somebody will ask you to have a speech in Mandarin, you will say,
okay.
Maybe you... Are you really looking forward to it, or you say, okay, I did it once, I can do it twice. It's not the thing I like the most, but
yeah,
I can do it.
You're right. It's not the thing that I like the most. I can do it once, I can do better the second time.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
So for this end of this podcast series, is there any advice you want to give, or a message you have, or advice you wished you have heard earlier, in earlier age?
I remember this sentence which shared by our mentor. It says vulnerability is the power, the new power. Vulnerability is powerful. You know, when I first heard this statement, a lot of question marks in my head.
Mm-hmm.
How can vulnerability be powerful? Yeah. Now I understand. So I would encourage more people who are listening now, being vulnerable, it's really, really powerful. For example, I was really afraid to let others see my vulnerable side.
Mm.
Yeah, because I feel that when I feel my vulnerability, I project to be weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be unable to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I'll give an example. You know, if you watch two speakers, one speaker is always very strong, very powerful on stage, you know, gives you the 100% power. And then the other one that say the same content and he or she shows real emotion and even tear on stage, which one would give us the most impression? Which one would give us the strongest impression? I think for me, the second one.
Yes, because less distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Less distance.
Show the real side of us. Yeah. And I realized a lot, I'm not sure about your part of the world,
mm-hmm,
but here, when somebody sees a person crying,
mm-hmm,
the rest will get panicked.
Because?
I don't know why. You know, when somebody is talking on stage, and he or she tears, everybody will get so panicked and looking for, where's tissue paper?
I can tell the same for us. It's like people think you're damaged because you cry.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is what we learned also from our mentor. It's just tears.
It's just tears.
The person is not broken. You don't have to fix them. Just let them cry. And what we do is we come to the person and say, oh, it's going to be good, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Stop crying. And I was thinking, no, please let them cry. It was hard work to make them cry.
Yes, it's hard work for the person to cry.
Yes, don't stop it.
It's been suppressing here for a long time.
Yes.
You know? So when the people see the person on stage crying or anyone crying, the rest would feel
uncomfortable
mm-hmm, or embarrassed. Oh, why is she crying? Like the whole ambience, it's you know, turned upside down.
Mm.
But after attending the program that we attended together. I think, well, I personally feel that tearing is so beautiful. When I see somebody tear, oh, I feel that the person is so beautiful. It's, yeah, laughing is an emotion, so is crying. And that crying is so real. Everybody can laugh with you, but how many friends can you find that would cry with you? Yeah.
That's a good question. And a good question to end today's series. How many friends can laugh with you, but how many friends can cry with you and stay with you when you're in tears? That's a good question to end.
And still feel that you're still beautiful when you cry.
Yes. Yeah. Very beautiful. So thank you, Amy, for the insights and a little bit Malaysian culture, but of course it's more insights in your personal story, as you cannot tell for every Asian. Yeah. But actually I found we have a lot of similarities. Just from the outside we look different, but values and in terms of emotions, it's why you're laughing.
From outside we look different. Yes,
you think? I think we look like sisters, like twins, don't we?
We are like sisters with different color, hair color, different eye color, different skin color. That's it.
Yes.
And other than that, you were saying, the values are the same.
Yeah, the values are the same, and that's what we found, because Amy and I know each other now for 4 years. We met in August 2015 on a seminar, and so that's what we always wonder about. It's like, okay, how could this happen? That cultural upbringing is so different. Also, there is a little bit of a age difference between us, and how could it be that we get along so well?
So well, yeah.
And this is the third time we're already meeting this year. So how could it be? And we found it's the values and the way how we see world as human being, not as dark color, blonde hair, or bigger eyes, round eyes, like not so round eyes. So that's more important.
Yeah. And you living in Germany and I living in Malaysia, and we meet each other more often than a friend living
close by
or living in the same country.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So this is what a friend of the same value is so important.
Yes.
Yeah.
So surround yourself with the right friends. And if you want to get in touch with Amy, I will put down her contact dates. So for Malaysian, Facebook is very, very common. So follow her on Facebook or check out her Instagram. But on Facebook, she will be way more active, as she told me. So you can find her on this. And the rest I will do in German to end the series.
Sure.
Vielen Dank heute für deine Zeit, die du dir genommen hast, reinzuhören. Und auch diese große Herausforderung angenommen hast, eine englische Folge dir anzuhören, weil das ist natürlich leichter, mit Menschen aus dem Ausland Kontakt zu halten, wenn du Englisch sprechen kannst. Nichtsdestotrotz werde ich aus der heutigen Folge ein paar Main Learnings machen, die Amy mit mir geteilt hat, dann auf Deutsch für diejenigen, die sich das nochmal anhören wollen, vielleicht nicht alles bekommen haben. Und ich danke euch.
Gesundheit. Bless me.
Und ich danke euch für eure Zeit und bewertet euch die Folge oder teilt die mit jemandem, wo ihr sagt, Mensch, da musst du unbedingt reingehört haben. Talking to Amy was inspiring. Das hat mich sehr inspiriert. Danke und bis zur nächsten Folge. Tschüss.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Wow. Auf Wiedersehen. Wow. How you know that?
I learned from Heidi Klum.
I learned from Heidi Klum.
Danke für die Zeit, die du dir heute genommen hast, um dieser Folge zuzuhören. Damit hast du wieder etwas für dich getan, das dir niemand nehmen kann. Und wenn dir etwas aus dem Podcast gefallen hat, bewerte ihn gerne und teile ihn mit anderen Menschen, die dadurch auch wachsen können. Wenn du Fragen hast oder dir eine Folge zu einem bestimmten Thema wünschst, schreib mir auf Instagram oder Facebook. Ich freue mich, von dir zu hören. Deine Yvonne.